Isn't it so exciting to have lots of little noise in the building? I'm reminded, you know, when Jesus was in the stable, and that, it wasn't quiet and lowly. No, it was a crazy mess in there. Lots of noise and baaing of sheep and mooing of cows and all sorts of stuff taking place. And I'm so glad that in the church, we're not so prim and proper that we have to sit just right. Everything has to be perfect. No, this is a place for everyone. Amen. And in that part is we love to hear little kids. Amen. Oh, come on. If nothing else, they'll at least give some kind of life to us then, right? We got to get alive here, and that Jesus is alive. Amen. And that he rose from the dead. I just want to remind us of a prophetic word that was spoken over Rockcliffe at the first of this year through our prayer time on Sunday nights. It's a scripture from Luke chapter 3. I want to bring a reminder as I jump into what I'm going to share today. It was in chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6. It says, "A voice of the one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain will be made low, crooked roads shall become straight, and rough roads smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation." What God is wanting to do in the house of Rockcliffe is nothing less than a great reflection of his glory that he wants everyone in our community to see. I've grown up in church all my life, and maybe that's a downfall in what I'm going to say, is that I'm really not into playing church. I've done it. I've spent years doing it. I just so much want to see God. I so much want to risk thinking that maybe if this doesn't happen, I'm going to fall down. But just if this is God, and he breaks through. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what would happen? What would happen in someone's life? What would happen in my family? What would happen in Owen Sound if we just trusted him and risked just a little bit to lay our lives out? See, we've been taking some time, and we've been talking, and this is our fourth time we're talking about restoration. God wants to restore. He wants to restore. He wants to restore you. He wants to restore me. He wants to restore that which the enemy has taken. Ultimate restoration will be in heaven. Amen? I just got to say that to make things clear. But he said to pull a little bit of heaven down to earth so that we can taste and see he's good right now. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit as part four in the message. I want to talk about how to slay the dragon of discouragement. And that before I do that, I've used this next screen and that many times, talking about Jesus is passionately pursuing us in order to find volunteer lovers of God, whom he will transform to become disciples of men. No one forced you today to come to church. No one forced me to come. He's looking for volunteer lovers of him that will lay down their lives and say, "Here I am, God," and allow him to transform them to become disciples of men. And so we're in this time and in this place of, is God just trying to restore his kingdom in a broken world? If we look to the world around us, we will get confused. But if we look to him, we will find a guiding light, for his word is a lamp unto our feet. He wants to renew our mind, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer or copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God, renew our minds. Renew our minds. Just because you grew up in a Christian home, just because you grew up in church, or just because you grew up with a mom and dad that loved you, doesn't mean that your mind does not need to be renewed. Because we are constantly, constantly taught the behaviors and patterns of this world. Someone ripped you off, you get them back. Someone cuts you off, someone does something, you make sure they know it. But God tells us something totally different. And as a believer of Christ, are we really allowing him to transform our lives? Or are we just allowing him to dress us up really nice so that we look okay on the outside? You see, when God does a work, he always starts on the inside first. And then it just shines forth to the out. And so God is not wanting us to copy the behaviors. He's wanting us to take a step of faith to believe for what he has. The book of James really is a book talking about a faith that works. It's a faith that works. No matter what you go through, no matter what's going on around your life, it works. The first part and the first time we talked about God's will in adversity is joyful endurance. He wants us to have a joy, even in the midst of struggles. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Knowing the testing of faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Listen, let me just say a little phrase here. In God's kingdom, there is no lack. In this broken world, there is lack of everything. Amen? How many times have you tried to love your wife or love your husband and it just feels like it's not enough? How many times have you tried to love on your kid, love on your boss, love on someone else and it just feels like, they're not getting it or it's just not enough? We lack nothing in God. For where you are weak, where you lack, he completes. He has. He is everything. So we need our mind renewed. As a Christian, we lack nothing. You might say, well, that's not true because, you know, Johnny down the road, he's got two cars and he's got this and I don't have two cars. Once we get the pattern of this world that compares to one another, it eats at the very core of our soul. God said, don't compare, because I never made another of you. In fact, if you want to compare to anyone, I'll let you do it to one, and that's Jesus. And I don't know about you, but every time I look to him, I just fall to my knees and say, man, I need you even more. I need you more. But then Jesus echoes back as I'm saying, oh, I need you more, I need you more. He echoes back and says, you'll do the same things I did and even greater if you would only believe. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and did all those amazing things is the same Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Will you believe? Joyful endurance. Part two, we talked about God's promise and process. When you don't know what to do, he'll give it. We talked about even that part, you know, as you know, the whole saying is those that have a little more white or gray on the top, they are much wiser. Amen? Why? Because through circumstance, they've lived longer, they've gone through life, and us that maybe aren't that a little bit that age, we should take note of that. They've gone through things that you and I have not. And we would save ourselves a lot of trouble if we just started asking a few questions. Amen? I should have got an amen for anyone that has a little white hair. You know, come on now, someone help me here. Why? Because they've gone through life. They've gone through difficulties. They've gone through things. They realize for that new young couple that's, oh, everything is great. And they're married and everything's special. And then all of a sudden they hit a wall. Oh my goodness, what do you mean? What do you mean you're going to squeeze the toothpaste in the middle instead of the bottom? Or some crazy thing. And their bubble gets bursted that everything is supposed to be peachy creamy and nice. The Bible says marriage is work. It's a blessing. It's exciting, but it's also work. and have a conversation. If you're going through a tough time, your marriage, find a couple that you're kind of like, wow, they've got it together. Wow, they still hold hands and they're over 50. Go up and ask them, hey, has everything in your marriage been this great? And I'm sure you'll get a laugh. And they'll say, ha, you should have saw us. You know, you should have saw that. You know, and then they'll begin to share things with you. And what will happen is the devil's lies will break off that you're the only one that's going through a tough time. Oh, sometimes our masks, they just need to be thrown in the fire and burned. None of us are perfect. We all got our stuff, amen? And that we're all saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. And if we become more transparent to help one another, then I think what will happen is we'll find a strength that you'll find nowhere else in this world. A bond that goes deeper, because it's not a bond based on whether we like what someone does or doesn't, how they dress, what kind of money they have. It's a bond that goes so deep because it's in spirit and in truth. It comes right from the core of who we are. And that's what God says, that we're family. Supernatural wisdom is what he offers. You don't have to go through life and all the knocks of life. In fact, why bother? Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8, just pause, take a step back and say, hey, God, I've never been down this road. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. Would you give me wisdom? And he'll give you supernatural wisdom that you don't have to wait until you're over 55 to get. But you can have it right now. You don't have to wait until you have those problems or you've gone through it so you can have 20/20 hindsight vision. But you can stand here and say, God, you got 20/20 vision right now. What do you got? What do you want me to do? What should I say? How should I walk? Should I take the promotion? Should I do this? Should I go on here? Should I? And he'll just say, okay, pause. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And in his still small voice, he speaks. And every one of us in this room can hear him. If we'll just ask, seek, and knock. Last week, we talked about God's way through deception. We need to get responsible. We need to own our stuff. No one can cause us to sin. No one can cause us to be angry. No one can offend us. No one can make me do anything. Oh, they can put the pressure on. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against shall prosper. We love those scriptures, but are we claiming them in the heat of the moment? Are we walking them out, or are we just hearers of it? The enemy deceives us, and we need the clarity of God. And the way to get clarity is to own our stuff. Say, you know what? It's not going past me. You might say, oh, my granddaddy, my daddy, this was this way. My mama, my grandma was this way. Well, then it's time for someone to own their stuff and say, it's not passing to the next generation. It's done. God and I are going to deal with this, and it's finished. Last week, we took some time and gave out the truth card, and people wrote down, you know, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I have a problem with this, and that by God's grace, we're going to get through this. And they came and pinned it on to the cross. And as they did, we said, say those same famous words that Jesus said, it is. And they pinned it on and walked away. Well, I left it up Sunday night prayer. We prayed over and said, God, we just cover this by your blood that no one's going to even remember this because you don't remember it anymore. As far as the east to the west, God doesn't remember things that we ask him to forgive us of. So we say, God, help the people not to forget it. To forget it and not remember it, I mean. And so on Monday morning, I came in and I said, okay, I'm not looking at any of these. I unpinned them all, took them to the shredder. I shredded every one of them. Why? Because it is. Amen? I shredded the last one. And God says, that was good, Phil. I said, oh, great. He says, but I want to speak now. I said, oh, okay. What do you mean? He says, well, I want to make a declaration back. Because that's what they took. They said this and that. And they laid it down. Well, now I want to respond. I'm like, okay, God, well, what do you want to do? How are we going to do that? And then he started to speak into my heart, and he says, I want you to write down some words, and I want you to write down some scriptures. If you've been out on Sunday night, I've been teaching those that are coming out on Sunday night how to hear God's voice, the fact that everyone can hear it. And so I've been giving a piece of paper and a pen out to everyone that comes out Sunday night, and we've been practicing together for the last 4 months on how to hear from him. And so they're writing down a little picture or a word or a phrase or a scripture verse or something, and it has been incredible how Holy Spirit starts something on with one person here and another person. Ah, man, God said same thing to me. You know, or someone says a word and then someone else is like, wow, that was for me. See, God's speaking a whole lot more than we could think. So, God and I are having this conversation. And I'm thinking, okay, God, well, you just kind of do what you do because you do it good. He's like, no, you're challenging everyone else to hear. I want to challenge you to stretch yourself. So I sat down. It took me 5 days because I had lots of blocks and lots of stuff with the enemy trying to shake things. Pastor Nathan helped me a bit. And there was 36 people that came and pinned up on the cross. And God gave me 32 words. So obviously a couple people needed the same word. And what I did was I said, okay, God, but here at Rockcliffe, we believe, like King David, no one gets left out. Amen? So, on that note, we're going to take the next few moments. I'm way off from where I was here, Dave, so just pause with me for a moment here. We're going to bring that video up. And we're just going to take a moment here. Video is just going to play in the background. It's just going to help get a little bit of distraction out of the room and a little bit of focus in just a second here. And what I'm going to ask is especially for those 36 that came up and pinned something, if you're here today, God wants to say something back to you. And you might say, yeah, but I don't see what word. I want to pick what word it is. Well, we're trusting Holy Spirit. I've never in my entire life done this before. But I feel like God is saying, Phil, you got to start getting out of the way. I want to lead, and I want to do some things that aren't confined to things that you know and how you've done before. So this is a risk for me. And if you don't get a word, you're like, man, I don't know what this word is. That doesn't mean anything to me. Just tuck it in your Bible. Maybe one day you'll need it, or God will give it to you. Say, hey, give this word to someone, and you'll hand it off to them. And just say, ah, pastor must have been in between one of those block moments there and had bad pizza. But every one of them, they're encouraging words, so not one of them is a bad word. But I really believe, deep in my heart, that Holy Spirit actually wants to speak to you. And he wants to give you a word that's going to go right deep to your heart. So we're going to take a moment, and especially those 38, but anyone that would like to, because there's 96 of them up there, and you'd like an encouraging word from Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come, unpin. There's a little bucket underneath here. I'm going to actually move the bucket to the center here. Unpin a word. Put the pin in there, and then you can head back to your seat and open it up. And as you open up, begin to read it. And say, God, this is for me. And begin to read the scriptures that are on there and see what Holy Spirit wants to do for the next few moments. I know this is different, but I just feel like we've been asking a lot of God. Oh, God. We just really want to see Owen Sound say, oh, God, we just do something in the church. Oh, God, do this. I feel like God's just saying, hey, that's why I gave you hands and feet. That's why I gave you a mouth. That's why I've given you these things, is I want you to partner with me. So we're going to put on the video, and I'm going to encourage you. If you don't want to, you don't have to come. There's no pressure. No one's going to think anything else. But if you'd like an encouraging word from God, then I'm going to encourage you just to come and grab a hold of it. And then go back to your, put the pin in here and go back to your seat and hang on to that word and open it up and begin to allow Holy Spirit to speak to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask right now that you would guide and lead. You say that's Holy Spirit's job. So I've done my part on what I felt like you've asked me to do. So I just say, Holy Spirit, I'm out of the way. Would you now take that which you've given and may it become a rhema word, like as if it was breathed right from your throne room into every one of our hearts. And so, Lord, I just thank you right now for your guidance and your leading, and I just pray that you would lead us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.